I don't know if it was a professor at the seminary or a wise pastor in my fieldwork churches, but they taught me, thou shalt not ask people to come sit up front. People are people, you know. They're going to do what they're going to do. But what an opportunity to come be close to all of you here. And I appreciate the joy of this music stand, and I truly appreciate getting together with all of you for Lent, for these evening services. As you have heard me say for the years we've been together, it just feels there is something very special about ending a day together here. As the sun has set, as again, we've kind of pulled ourselves away from the rhythm of the world to be retuned with God, because we need that. We need that refresher and that retunement. For Lent this year, we are going to focus in and study and go through the book of Galatians chapter 5, because we want to see the purpose, the point of what it is that Jesus died and rose again for. And Galatians 5 verse 1 says that about as plainly as it can be said. I wonder if I might ask you from the screens to read it together along with me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. What I love about that is when you think of what could have been put in its place. What it could say is, God pulled you out of the cage of sin and shame and guilt, and he stuck a leash and a choke collar on you called his law and all the ways he wants you to do what he wants you to do. It could have said, God pulled you up out of sin and shame and attached to you his puppet strings so you could dance to his tune and do every single thing he said. But God chose, because of how much he loves us, to use this language. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We may have our own ideas and understandings of what freedom is, especially here in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But God's Spirit whispers to us this Lent, there's actually more about freedom than you think you know. There's much more to it, much more about freedom than just doing what it is we want to do. And Galatians 5 goes on to say, we'll spend more time with this as we get further in, do not use your freedom just to indulge yourself, indulge your own sinful flesh. You know, I'm free, so I can do whatever I want to do. I can buy 5 half gallons of Bluebell ice cream tonight, and I can eat them all. The dentist will love you. You could walk out of here and you could say, you know, I'm free. I am going to take my car as fast as I want to on 290. I'm just going to drive and drive and drive, and I don't care. Except I'm pretty sure I know you're wired about the same way I am. And that is, as you're seeing the speedometer go up to 70 and 80 and push it to 90 and even up to triple digits, the whole time you're thinking, I gotta be looking for the cops. I know. I gotta watch out for them, because if they get me, they are gonna write the mother of all tickets and I am gonna be in such trouble. My insurance is going up. Can you imagine? Here, while you're using your freedom to drive as fast as you want, the anxiety is creeping in. What if I get caught? And if you think of so many situations where we can say to ourselves, I'm free, I can do that. I mean, this is America, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt and all those other rationales and excuses that we use. And that think of the cost that comes with the exercise of so much of that so-called freedom. Whether it is shame, guilt, addiction, broken hearts, broken promises, broken relationships. That is why God, who loves us, warns us, do not use your freedom just to indulge yourself. Adam and Eve were pretty free. I mean, if you think about it, they didn't have 10 commandments or 600 commandments. They just had one. They didn't have to, you know, thou shalt not and thou shalt this. They were so free, they didn't even need clothes, my goodness sake. How wonderful is that, right? One commandment. Just one. I love you and I put you in this beautiful place. Show me that you love me by staying away from this one tree. And yet, they indulged. their own drawn. Oh, I've got to have that. Why would God keep that from me? The serpent tells me that I'm going to be like God now if I have that. We've heard all the promises of what things in this world can do for us if we would just exercise our freedom and get whatever it is that we want. Yet God who tried to tell Adam and Eve, Eve knew, we can freely eat from any of the trees, but not from this one. You must not. It's not because they were going to keel over instantly. It's not because it was full of poison or was, surrounded by electric fence. It was going to shock them. It was because God wanted to see their love response, their responsible exercise of the freedom that they had. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Well, now wait a minute. Freedom. So I can do it. Could you drive 120? Sure. Yesterday I spent some time at the hospital. I was called in the late afternoon to be a chaplain. My very first case was of a mother and father who thought their child didn't have to be in a car seat. And the little barely born 6-week, 7-week old baby was ejected during a rollover accident. The child had been free, and now the child is gone. So much of what you and I think is freedom actually puts us at such great risk. Such great risk. Jesus tried to talk to us about that and tried to explain that this risk, this idea is so powerful, this enticing, yet I want to show you there's something even more powerful. Think now in freedom, the possibility you're about to get married. You're going to have your first dance at the wedding reception with your beloved, and you decide, I think I just want to have some free moves. I just want to shake and bake. In fact, why don't we just fake our way through that first dance? What do you say, dear? Or instead of being afraid you're going to look like a fool, or fall down and end up being in somebody's $10,000 winning crazy video, what if you learned 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3? What if you learned basic steps and moves of how to help one another move in this beautiful synchronized freedom that is a dance together? And how freely you could flow across the floor to the amazement and inspiration of each other when we just learn how to do the basics. That's what Jesus is inviting us. He tells us, and we saw it there in Galatians, this idea that he comes with his Spirit to help us avoid the wrong exercise of our freedom, right? Where it talks about all the works of the flesh that Galatians 5 is going to unpack for us. And the right exercise, when we learn the basics, when we have this alignment from the Holy Spirit, that you and I are able, as Galatians 5 says, to keep in step with the Spirit as if we are moving in a dance together. Think of a craftswoman or a craftsman, whether it's clay or it's wood or it's yarn or it's anything that someone can craft and use with their hands. When they have learned the basics, when they have learned the stitches, when they have learned to use the tools, they can move so freely. I think of the repair person that came to my house to fix my microwave. Do you know it took me 45 minutes to figure out how to take the door off of my microwave when I was going to try to fix it myself? And do you know that repair person, Lenita, popped that thing off in about 30 seconds? Because she had learned the basics. And with that freedom came this confidence and this ability to help others. You and I, if we're just going to use our freedom for ourselves, are at really risk. And Lent is at time for us to hear God's loving warning and reminder of the risk we face. There were even religious people who would come to Jesus, and Matthew 7 tells the story of this. Well, Jesus, we did this in your name, and we went to religious services, and we did all these religious acts. And Jesus' answer was as sobering then as it is now. Go away from me. I never knew you. You didn't move in the rhythm and in step with my Spirit to learn the ways of freedom that I really have in mind for you. The landmines of sin, the tripwires of grief and shame that I want you to avoid. He goes on even in Matthew chapter 25, and there when Jesus is what we know is separating the sheep from the goats, he says to those on his left, I was a stranger. You didn't welcome me. In other words, the exercise of our freedom isn't just that we freely chose to come here to church tonight and we earned a few brownie points and gold stars before God and his people, but it's what we do out there. It is how we choose the freedom and the gift of salvation he has given to us, how we use that and learn to walk in rhythm of the Spirit and use it for others, for good. And if we miss that, then we might hear Jesus say, I was a stranger and you did not invite me. I was without clothes. I was in prison and you did not look after me. Don't just use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature, but use it to serve one another in love. And as we will explore again in Galatians 5 going forward, this beautiful phrase, against such things there is no law. No need for thou shalt and thou shalt not. So when we have learned to move and keep in step with the Spirit, and what starts coming out of our lives are these beautiful fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit of freedom. That's the fruit that flows when we allow the Holy Spirit to warn us away from this and to guide and train us and strengthen us into his ways. And it's what he longs to offer to us all. It is that Spirit that breathes alive and makes us able to have faith, as Martin Luther said. We cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Christ, but God has called us by the gospel, enlightened and sanctified us by his Spirit, and kept us in the true faith. Or as Zechariah puts it, not by the might of your strength, not by the power of your own self-will or your exercise of your so-called freedom, but by the Spirit of God are you and I going to be able to live this life that glorifies him and also helps us experience the freedom that he was willing to suffer and die on the cross to bring us. May we long for that Spirit's guidance and tune our ear to hear his voice this Lent and always. Amen. I invite you to join me for a brief prayer before we continue. Jesus, it's so easy for us to keep the radio going, have the social media flashing up on our devices, and just stay busy, busy all the time, always reading, always acting, so rarely sitting still and knowing you are God and you have so much you want to teach us, so much you want to warn us of, so much freedom you want us to truly experience if we will only listen. Please move our hearts this Lenten season to choose to listen to you, to learn from you, take your yoke upon you, as you say, and discover how the Spirit can warn us away from danger, guide and direct us toward what is good, and experience the greatest freedom and peace we could ever imagine. We pray this in faith and hope, asking you to care for each one, get us safely home, and return us back together to serving you in the new day and always. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.